Dear Dad, the first thing I ever knew I inherited from you were my eyes. I have your eyes. People have said this to and about me my entire life, and it's true. One of the first cliches I ever learned was that eyes are the windows to the soul. So if there's any truth at all to that, I mean, most cliches become so because they ultimately contain some truth, then I have your soul. And I think that's true too. Dad, the reason you're harder for me to write to than Mom is because you and I have always communicated in other ways. For as long as I can remember, any card or letter I received from you contained a hand-drawn personalized hamster to commemorate the occasion. And it was always perfect. Every occasion in my life, large and small, has come complete with a handmade hamster card from my dad. When you're a kid, that's the kind of thing you learn through the years that's really unique, like to the point of being peculiar. In 34 years, Dad, I've yet to meet any kid who grew up communicating with his or her father through hamster art. But hamsters aren't our only form of communication. You and I have always been wizard-level exceptional at sharing a silence. We both know silence is such a rarity in the Mazur household, and so we both cherish it. Not because we don't love the Mazur energy. Obviously you do, and of course it's half of me. But because we both have a misunderstood quiet side. People think it comes from shyness, but I think we're just on a separate wavelength, one that tends to favor stillness when that's offered. Because of you, I've come to embrace stillness in my adult life as much as I can, which isn't very often, and so I cherish it all the more. Because of you, I'm also drawn to nature. In my New York neighborhood, I've come to take daily hikes in the hills, and what you may not realize is I go there because it's a place that connects me to you. When I'm surrounded by the beauty of nature, in the quiet, looking out of the eyes we share, I feel like I'm out taking a walk with my dad, and it always makes me feel better. We also communicate through music. It isn't lost on me that that's the one undeniable skill shared and valued on both my Mazur and Schmidt sides, music. One of the most powerful memories of music and family I have is from Grandma Mazur's final chapter, when her brain suffered from dementia to the point that her memory had replaced her seven dogs with seven husbands, where she forgot the generation-long grudge she had held against you and your parents because she didn't think you were good enough for her daughter. She forgot most things, including her prejudices, but never her music. The piano prodigy stayed the piano prodigy unto her dying breath. But not long before her passing, she would play these harmonica piano duets with Grandpa Schmidt at the piano in our living room, like they were old friends jamming out, reliving the songs that got them through World War II. Music made a miracle happen in our home. Music united enemies. Music healed. I love that you always played music around Kenny and me, too. I loved the Christmas songs you'd make up and the Zeppelin intros you'd practice and try to perfect. I loved your process and that you never hid your work. It was so important for me to see you work. See, Grandma Mazur was a prodigy. She sat at a piano and her body just knew what to do, like a second soulmate after Grandpa. I never for a moment believed you to be a guitar prodigy, and I mean no offense by that. I just mean I knew you had to practice to make good music, and it taught me that it was okay to need to work harder than other people to get to their level, or hell, to even stay beneath their level because maybe their level is a place you can never get. Dad, one of my deepest, darkest truths is that I believe what standardized tests showed about me. I do not believe myself to be naturally, intellectually gifted. There was always a difference between Kenny and me when it came to learning. He caught on quicker. He was naturally brighter. This was also true with some of my best friends growing up, Carrie Engel for one. She was just smarter. But because of you, this never intimidated me or angered me or even frustrated me. You showed me through your example that, one, it's great to surround yourself with people smarter than you. And two, it's totally fine if you need to work harder to keep up with them. It just makes you smarter and stronger and a better student and a better listener and a better human. You and those lessons you taught me are the reason behind my early career success, and also, and equally important, for my resilience in bouncing around three cities, multiple careers, and what feels like a million medical hurdles. You showed me what hard work, perseverance, and flexibility can accomplish, even amidst a recession. Dad, when I compare your fascinating resume to mine, it will surprise you to know that what I see are two very similar stories of people who had to work harder, take tough jobs, find ways to keep an open mind and a good attitude, and to always, no matter what, show up and do the work to the best of your ability. You taught me about the currency of living a storied and full life, and for a long time, I didn't get it. The stories are the most sacred currency. Because of you, Dad, I have so many stories. Which leads me toward a conclusion. The culmination of your lessons has led me to live the life of an artist, specifically one in the theater. Congratulations! What you may not realize is how much of my continued commitment to the power of theater comes from something you said not that long ago. The night of the 2016 presidential election, when the result became horrifyingly inevitable, I called you. It was late. Trump had won Michigan, and we both knew many of your former colleagues from the plant had turned to Trump out of frustration, out of well-founded anger. "Why not you?" I asked. I called to ask what had kept you from going down that path. Your response? Theater. Theater saved you, helped, opened your mind. You and I agreed, it's impossible to hate when you love the theater. See, all those years, I always knew that theater was what saved me, but I learned only then that it had saved you, too. My eyes, our eyes, are forever drawn to the stage. After our conversation that night, I cried, not only because of the election result, but because I felt like in this weird way, you had just inadvertently, through that admission that theater saved you from the toxicity of anger and fear, that you had given me your support that I needed to justify my leaving behind a successful law career, that you had worked so hard to help me earn, so that I could go fundraise for a history-focused Chicago theater housed in a 100-year-old church. It meant more to me than you know. Last summer, when you and Mom drove from Detroit to Chicago to help me pack for my move to New York and to see me dance and to come see one last play at my Chicago theater home in the 100-year-old church, a play that happened to be about our hometown of Detroit, written by a Detroit-raised playwright who happened to dance at some of the places I had. I mean, there were so many coincidences. The theater had a jazz-inspired collaborative painting on the lobby display where audience members could pick up a brush and add their mark to the canvas. Mom and I instinctively wrote our matching initials, but you, just as instinctively, you drew a hamster. Of course you did. Dad, please stay healthy and please warm up those wrists because I sincerely hope that I will spend the rest of my life living more moments that will require your art. All of it. You gave me so much of your music for so many years. Now I'm about to start making my own. Love, JJ.